The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. I have a cat rolling around on my computer, and we are brought to you by no one.
We are brought to you by no one.
Just us.
Aw.
Me and you. We bring you.
We bring
us.
You. Us.
That's awkward.
That is a weird sentence construction.
That is. Well, grammar not good with I.
Okay, Yoda.
Yeah. That's much better than mine.
Yes, yes it is.
Now do Piggy.
No, I can't do Piggy.
You can do Piggy if you can do Yoda.
That's a fallacy. It's a lie.
It's a fallacy.
It's a lie.
Cat on computer. Okay, there we go.
We are beswarmed by animals.
That's because the redhead that lives here with me has decided to abandon us for the evening.
Yes. She got out while the getting was good.
No, she's like, I'm going to dinner with a friend. I'm like, okay, love you, bye. Dang it. That's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll live somehow.
Somehow. How are you, Dave?
You know, kind of had a bummer day.
Yeah?
Yeah, little bit of a disappointment.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. My cleaning lady, actually, last time she was over, she told me that she had all these toys that she from her son, from like the G.I. Joe stuff from the early 70s to about the mid-70s, about just before my time, really.
Right.
And there was a Mark's Golden Knight with
Ooh.
The horse.
Ooh.
And then there was, turns out she had a Major Matt Mason vehicle.
Neat.
And she, you know, she's like, oh, I know you like toys, and if you'd be interested in buying them. And I was like, yeah, I'd be interested. I'll take a look at them. And the real centerpiece was she had the Adventure Team, I can't remember what it's called, Search for the Golden Idol,
right.
Or Hunt for the Golden Idol, or Stolen Idol, which is a helicopter, it's got an idol and a snake, and then the idol opens up and it's got these little gems inside.
Right.
And it's a really neat piece. She had the box was in rotten shape, but she had the box. And there were a bunch of G.I. Joes, there were a bunch of outfits, she had a couple of the manuals, you know, just a bunch of random accessories, there were some big gym accessories, you know, she had the kung fu outfit, and I was like, ooh, neat. I know, I was like, that's exactly my thing. I was like, ooh, neat, the kung fu outfit. And, you know, like, there was the MP outfit for G.I. Joe. I mean, there was a bunch of neat stuff. But it was all dirty.
Right.
They smoked, so I mean, it really stank.
Yeah.
It was bad. And, you know, it was a little awkward because I kind of was looking at prices. Apparently, I missed the prices on that Golden Knight because all the stuff I saw was like super low. You know, I was looking at completed auctions.
Right.
I guess a lot of people got a lot of steals on that one because that was like super low. But the idol set was really expensive.
Right.
And you know, I mean, this is a person that you know I've you know she was my mom's you know house cleaner and she's you know kind of not sort of family. I mean, you know,
right. She's been around for a long time.
So I didn't really want to, like, lowball her. But at the same time, you know, when she came over today, I said, look, now, some of this stuff's really valuable, and I'm not going to be able to pay you, you know, quote, what it's worth.
Right.
And she was okay with that, you know, and we negotiated a price, and it was more than I wanted to pay.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it was, because, I mean, the thing is, it was still probably fairly low for what it was. But, you know, for a good price, you know, I'll sit out there on the back porch with a box of Magic Erasers.
And clean it.
And clean everything. Yeah. And we were just about to finish the deal, and she said, you know, I should really call my son and make sure he's okay with this.
No.
And immediately he's like, well, you know, some of those G.I. Joes alone are worth hundreds of dollars. And, like, one was missing a hand, one had his arm popped out. There was one cool one, which was Mike Powers, the Atomic Man. And she had the clothes for him, but they were on a different figure.
Oh, yeah.
And she had the weird little helicopter thing that he comes with.
Neat.
And it was really, that was probably my favorite thing. Like, but I mean, he just would not move off the idea. And, you know, it's that classic, you know, I saw on eBay, or I saw on Toy Hunter, or I saw
and
on...
that's the worst
I
part
saw
of
on Antiques Roadshow, or I saw somewhere that this one G.I. Joe that was, you know, mint in box and perfect, went for hundreds of dollars. So I'm not going to move off of, you know... He wanted one Ratty Joe for apparently, quote, hundreds of dollars.
And there's no way.
Yeah.
That's the problem with as dirty as they are and as beat up as they are and as nasty as they were.
Yeah.
It's like what you were offering them was probably more than fair value for the shape that everything was in.
It was you know, in retrospect, thinking about it, it was probably a better price. It was a good price. It was a better price than I thought it was.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, they smelled, and they were dirty. I mean, there was a lot of dirt on this stuff.
Yeah.
And
they'd been well played with.
Yeah. And, well, no, they'd just been sitting in storage for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Right.
And, you know, there were, like, rubber bands holding things together, and the rubber bands had rotted.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was just, and the blades of the helicopter had been stored next to some soft plastic, so there were, like, little places where it had melted and been eaten away.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and there were conditions with the helicopter.
Right.
I mean, everything was old and a little beat up.
Yeah.
And then it was dirty, and then it smelled.
Right.
And it was just kind of a bummer because, you know, in the end, you know, she kept trying to, like, well, what about this for just 100? I'm like, no, I can't, you know, at this point, like, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it.
Right.
It's like, yeah, your son can sell that stuff on eBay. He can pay the listing fees.
And
he can
he'll never sell it because no one's going to buy that stuff that he's listing for the shape that it's in for the prices he wants. And number one,
yeah,
that's the common misconception with eBay these days is that people like that guy look at stuff that's listed, and people don't realize or don't know that you can hit sold only and completed sales and see what stuff is actually selling for.
Yeah, I mean, that was... I wasn't in the mood to get into it at that point. But it's like, is that something that's sold, or is that something that people are asking for?
Right.
You know? And, yeah, so I was a little bummed out about that.
See, that's
around... I kind of, like, planned my whole morning around that,
yeah.
And, you know.
Those are the times that I wish that you as a person had more patience overall on those types of things, because you could have spun the computer around, showed her completed listings, and go, what I'm offering
you
is a
fair
price. Well,
I'm sure she believed me. Well, and I told her at the beginning that, you know, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to, quote, exactly was, quote, worth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could have pushed the issue, but it's, you know, it's someone who, you know, I deal with on a regular basis.
Right.
And, you know, frankly, at a certain point, I was like, you know what, I don't care. I don't collect 12-inch G.I. Joes. Some of these would have been neat to have.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if he's going to be a jerk about it,
here's my,
he can keep them.
Here's my idea on that. She's going to tell him, well, if you want to sell them, come get them. And he's going to be like, nah, I don't have the time to do it. And she's going to end up bringing this stuff back to you. And
I suspect. I suspect. Although, I'll tell you something. I'm going to go lower the next time she comes around. It's going to be like, eat. That was that offer for that day at that time when I was playing with them and was kind of taken. And
now I've had time to think about it.
I've had time to think about it, and I don't collect 12-inch G.I. Joes, and not that interested.
So... kind of a bummer. I get
you. It was kind of weak because it was, like I said, the Mike Powers was neat. The Golden Knight was neat.
Yeah.
And she had like an extra set of armor for the horse. For some reason, she got them at a garage sale or something.
Huh.
So, I mean, those would have been cool. The actual set would have been cool. I don't know where I would have displayed it, but I mean, it was a neat piece.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, I mean, it would have been, I once it became an issue, I stopped going through everything.
Right.
But there were a lot of outfits, you know, I love those little manuals that come with the original figures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of neat stuff that, like, would have been cool to have, but it's not my main focus, and so.
Yeah.
If someone wants to be difficult, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
See, you know, usually, I'm surprised you're not more proud of me, because usually I'm like, I will go down in this, and I will pay
whatever
money
you want.
You know,
I'm also very proud of you, but it just...
going down in flames, like, no, I'll give you all the money.
I can see your frustration, too, because it sucks that, you know, she's on the phone with her son, and her son's throwing a fit because he's like, oh, they're worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
it's
and
like,
then he's been leaving him in her closet in her house for, you know, decades.
And they're worth that much money. Well, if they were worth that much money,
his whole thing was like, the stuff he made a big deal. There was like trains and Hot Wheels or something, or Matchbox cars.
Right.
And those were like, no, I'm not selling those. Those are important to me. Well, then all of a sudden, when this become important to you?
Right, exactly.
The minute you didn't get your, you know, Toy Hunter prices... your Antiques Roadshow prices for...
which is just unbelievable.
I mean, it was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I think we start to see that more and more now. And you know, on the one hand, I can agree with people that Toy Hunter is starting to hurt the marketplace when it comes to those types of ordeals. Because you have a lot of common folk now understanding...
This is not the first time this has happened. We had the situation with my friend Brad with his Masters figures. And he lived in a fantasy universe where these things that were broken and had screwed up rubber bands, but the paint was good and they had their accessories.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be worth a fortune. It's like, no, Brad, you don't... but the paint's good. It's like, yeah, and the waist is shot.
And I think I bought... how many of those figures did I buy from?
You bought about 4 or 5.
About 4 or 5, and I think I paid you. I probably paid over what they were worth.
Maybe
just because
not too much.
No,
I mean,
but still, but it was like When you were telling me what he was wanting, and I'm looking at him going, there's no way he's going to get these prices.
I know. He was a little crazy.
Because the Merman that I've got that I bought from that, his legs are all jacked up. And I'm not about to try to figure out how to... there's a way to fix Master's legs and to rubber band them, but I'm not about to do it. Yeah, but I'm not about to do it. It's pain. Lots of Dremeling and other stuff involved. Yeah, not about to do that. So he just stands behind the attack track, and that's where he stands.
Wow.
So he's held up by the attack track. But yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know, that's one of the unfortunate things with the more we deal with that side of the toy, you know, the more we go outside of the normal realm to look and buy stuff, the more we see that every day. And it's like, starts to get frustrating because you're like, on one hand, you're like, I'm not ripping you off. But on the other hand, you're like, you're not going to get these prices you're wanting for this stuff. There's no way. It's just not going to happen. I'm like, this stuff's not mint in box. It's not pristine. It's not perfect, you know. Maybe if it was mint in box and it never, you know, but still had its ties and everything in the box, and maybe you could get hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but it's not going to happen for the shape that it's in. So that sucks. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, it's okay. I went to, after that, I got cleaned up and went to Toys R Us and bought new toys.
Yeah, new toys are good. New toys. A little bit of toy news is that NECA finally showed off the packaging for their 18-inch Gypsy Danger and their Spider Gremlin, which I know you're excited about.
Oh, yes, I'm tingly.
Because they are on the way. They're supposed to be shipping here really soon.
All right, I want it.
The Spider Gremlin looks really amazing. You got to put his legs
together. I'm a little worried because he sticks out a little further than I thought he did. He's a little longer than I thought he would
be. Yeah, and you made a spot for him already.
I made a spot for him, but I don't think it's big enough.
Yeah, well, when fully assembled, the Spider Gremlin's going to stand 10 inches tall, 15 inches across, and 12 inches deep.
Okay, well, so. I need to write that down.
Yeah.
So I basically need like a 2-foot cube.
Probably. And then the Gypsy Danger, of course, is 18 inches tall.
And it's interesting because just before we went on the air, so to speak, we were messing around with our sponsors, Big Bad Toy Store. Yep. And they've got a listing for the 18-inch knife head kaiju.
Right.
And that was what I said when they first announced the Gypsy Danger. I was like, well... yeah, now if they do the kaiju, I'd be interested.
Right.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Well, you know what would be great is to buy the 18-inch knife head and then buy the 6-inch Gypsy Danger, because then they're pretty much kind of in scale one another for the most part.
I think the kaiju and the things were about the same size.
Were they about the same size? I thought they were a little bit bigger.
Well, okay, but that's like a lot bigger.
Well, I guess you're right. I don't do sizes as well.
I think maybe the Category 5 thing at the end might have been that big.
Yeah. I know we kind of saw some of these previews, but Jada Toys, who I've never heard of the company, honestly, got the license to do the RoboCop figures for the new movie, and they finally
released...
You
lucky dogs.
I know, right?
You're going to be sitting on those.
They released a bunch of new images for the 4-inch, the 6-inch, and the talking 12-inch RoboCop. The 4-inch line...
It doesn't look that... It looks okay. The metal parts look kind of detailed. The hand, I noticed, at least on the... See, I didn't really look at the new movie one. I looked at the classic movie one because I'm not going to buy the new movie one.
Right.
Screw it. Family friendly. It looks okay.
Yeah.
It looks like a 4-inch figure.
I don't like how the costume, he has one hand that's not...
The classic one's like that too.
Really?
Yeah. At least the figure is. I don't remember the actual character design.
Weird, yeah. Well, you know what, though? This classic look is actually in the movie.
Is it?
He starts out in this classic look and then moves on to the more...
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember there's that quote from the trailer where it's like, they diss the silver look. It's like, can we make it black? Black's more tactical.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the classic one. That's from the new movie.
Yeah.
You don't get bought then.
So, yep, sorry, Dave.
I hate you.
You had a good 6-inch version with the NECA one. That came out.
Yeah, you're right.
And then the 12-inch talking RoboCop, I don't know, he looks...
from the new movie, don't care about
him. Yeah. I know, they've done a good job on the sculpting and the detailing, I'll give them that.
Well, but it's mostly metal robotic parts anyway, so it's robots are kind of hard to screw up sculpt-wise.
Yeah.
So I'm generally less impressed with like a really good, you know, robot or stormtrooper, or those are kind of the easy ones to pull off.
True. Did you see Michael Keaton today said that Beetlejuice 2 is a go? By any chance?
Dude, Beetlejuice 2 and Ghostbusters 3 are those movies that... You know, Indiana Jones 5, There's like three or four movies that just never will go away. But okay, if Keaton says it's going to happen.
Well, both Keaton and Burton have both said yes. It's...
I mean, Keaton. I think Keaton was the big question mark on that one.
Yes, and Keaton said he's coming back.
Is he still going to go to Hawaii, or they give up on that?
I think the storyline still somehow involves Hawaii, which, meh, I'm fine.
They're going to get Jeffrey Jones out of molester prison. You know, it broke my heart, but it's true.
Yeah,
I mean, he was one of my favorite actors from the 80s, but
yep.
Apparently he liked to touch children.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I know, that sucks.
Don't rub on the microphone, Kitty Cat. Oh, stretch. Kitty Cat's stretching.
Kitty Cat's stretching.
There she goes. I had some interesting, before we get into last weekend.
Okay.
I was rearranging some stuff downstairs and thought, remember a long time ago, somebody had told me, I had shown off pictures on like an old flea market finds of the, I had bought from our buddy Fred's house. The first time we went to Fred's, I bought the RoboCop RoboCycle Minton box.
Oh, okay. I know the story's
going. Yeah, and I'd showed it off and somebody had said on Facebook, I think, or Twitter was like, best to probably leave that in the box because it's probably flaked all off.
That's what I did.
Yep, and I was like, I was moving stuff around, and I was like, well, I'll cut the tape and open it and look, and it looks bad. Yeah, it's bad.
And it doesn't help that they use, like, pink plastic for that.
Yeah, underneath the back metal that they painted,
So it looks, like, super ugly.
So I kind of poked around to see if there was a way that you could actually redo the back metal yourself, and there's not.
Yeah, I would think not.
There's not. So if I ever decide to display it, I'm just going to have to paint that plastic with metallic paint and be done with it.
Yeah.
And that's, for anyone wondering what that noise was, that was a cat's face scratching against the microphone. That's awesome.
As I said, besieged by animals.
Well, so glad that she's, I mean, I like that she's super lovey, but gosh dang it. Yes, go.
Is that the one that Wheeler hates? Does Wheeler hate Ethel?
Yes.
Okay.
Wheeler
hates your cat.
Wheeler does hate Ethel. Ah, I can't wake up today. I've been out of it all day. Just out of it. Just like, and of course, we're recording this on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, but you actually had come over yesterday as well.
Yeah, but we had a full schedule yesterday.
Yeah, boy, did we. For those wondering, we started a weekly regimen where we're going to work out with Dave every week. Not a lot, but something to get you started.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, did you? How were you feeling?
I was fine. Yeah. Actually, honestly, I thought I'd hurt more, but I was okay.
Yeah, just a little sore.
I wasn't even that sore.
I wasn't either.
But you know, who knows if I was doing the exercises right? Because I was just sort of vaguely trying to mimic. I'm not like you do more than one different kind of muscle motion, and it falls apart.
Yeah, I'm not good either. But Carrie, who worked out three times yesterday.
Well, yeah, she was in agony.
She was in agony today. She couldn't walk up and down the stairs. Like, I had to help her up the stairs because she walked down the stairs, throw something away, and I walked up in front of her and she went, I heard, baby. And I'm like, what? She's like, I can't walk up the stairs. I'm like, oh my God.
I feel sorry for her, but I'm just going to say for the record, this was not my idea.
Yes.
I mean, I appreciate the concern you guys show for me, but not my idea. Yeah. So if your wife's falling apart,
that's true.
That was her call to do a bunch of push-ups before the.
She did like 200 push-ups the day before.
Yeah, that was probably not a good call.
Then she was like, my armpits hurt so bad. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you at all.
And then we did some stuff for board.
Yeah, we did some stuff for board. And
we kind of came up and had dinner and watched S.H.I.E.L.D. But then it was 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and I was like, you were like, so we're going to record. I'm like, probably better do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was like, crap. I was like, man, did we ruin that whole night? Because I was like, oh, I got to work on board. I got to get a bunch of stuff done before its premiere on Saturday. And
well, part of it was to do the stuff for the record, the stuff that we had to record. You had to get that edited. You had lost that footage.
I had lost the edited footage. Yeah, I had it edited and moved it all the way down to the end of the timeline. And then when I fiddled with stuff that we shot for the cold opening last weekend, I lost it because I had moved stuff too far down and erased it and didn't realize it until it was too late and was like, son of a.
Yeah.
So I had to put together the last chunk of it back together, and that took a good 30 minutes to figure that out. Yeah. And then for us to record the audio we needed, so. Season finale is going to be fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. I think.
It's going to be a.
I'm going to be on it, so watch this time.
Yay, Dave is on it, and Dave's part of the cold opening. It's fun.
Yeah.
We spent all day Saturday shooting. Well, not all day. We spent an hour shooting it.
We spent a relatively small chunk of Saturday.
I knew what I wanted, and we could only...
Yeah, we only had Dan for a limited time.
Yeah, we had Dan for a very limited time. So it's like, okay, shoot this,
shoot Dan's this, like sunlight. We have like a limited window with him.
Yes. These days, yeah, and even here come January, even less of time.
I would imagine.
So I'm going to have to completely...
Yeah, you're going to have your stuff together.
Yeah, completely have everything refined and ready to shoot so I can know exactly what we need to shoot and get it done and get him out
the door. I would say... probably like schedule two shooting days, one for the upstairs for the closet stuff and one for downstairs with the board games.
Yep. That's my plan.
So that you don't have to do the setting up and taking down, setting up and taking down.
Yep. Although we looked in the closet today and Puppet Duvall may have to move.
Yeah, Puppet Duvall.
Come season three, he may have to move.
He's a little crowded in there.
Oh, it's beyond crowded. There's no more room in there.
Yeah, well.
And I still have two huge stacks of board games sitting downstairs that we were going to show on Collection Expansion that have not made it up here to this closet. I don't know where those are going to go. So I may have to start putting shelves up in the laundry room, more shelves, and stacking board games in there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Good times. Or I may just have to start putting them out in the garage.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's a little out of control, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. You're a little... getting a little indulgent on that, I think.
Yeah,
I think we need to... use the games we have and maybe stop buying new ones.
Well, I mean, technically, if you think about it, the last two toy shows we went to, I bought three games. Two of them were just on a whim because I was like, well, I haven't seen these.
Okay, you're making my argument for me, but please continue.
The last game I bought was something
I get needed. It was specific for a specific episode, yes. But
yeah.
The other two are like, oh, I just bought those on a whim. Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, good call.
Is we need to be specific, and it needs to be, we really need this for the show.
Yeah, well,
and pretty much there's like one game that falls under that category.
True. One game that we don't have access to falls under that category.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of finding and affording that game, which will happen one day.
Sure.
Probably season 4 or 5 at this point.
Well, yeah.
Well, we do have the next two seasons planned out, so.
Yeah. And you didn't even touch the crap that I have, so I mean,
yeah,
not that I have a lot of it, but I mean, I have like 5 or 6 pretty good.
Yeah, there's quite a few that I didn't touch out of yours. Danny says quite a stack that we haven't even begun to poke through, and it's just like, oh, well, like I spent a whole whopping hour and a half putting together the game lists for the next two seasons, and I was like rearranging them a couple times. I'm like, yeah, that works.
Mm.
So, good stuff. And of course, we're giving away stuff.
Yep.
Yay.
Wacky Wizard.
Yep, Wacky Wizard game. So that's... that is currently up on the board of the show, and as well
I saw it. Yeah, yep. It was filmed in my neighborhood.
Yep, and I think
you can see my aunt's old house in the background.
I know, you know, it's up on Toy World Order, and I'm not sure. I think Danny put it up too. I think I'm not sure with Danny though, because he's been putting up. Nope, he hasn't put that video up yet. He's been putting up Star Wars Black reviews like a madman.
Meh.
Which is funny because he reviewed Boba Fett for the San Diego Comic-Con and then had to turn around and review it again for Wave 2, which was kind of silly.
Is there any significant difference?
Not really. It just doesn't come with...
Just doesn't come with the thing.
Han and Carbonite, really.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's the same review. Why are you doing it again? But I understand. Sometimes that's how it happens. So, yeah, we had some fun filming that. And then, of course, Sunday was Toy Man.
Toy Man, kind of did that one on the lowdown. Kind of ran in, ran out.
Literally, like kind of ran.
One sweep and then a second kind of like cleanup sweep, and then we were gone.
Yeah, we did not stick around for long.
No,
which is sad because
we would have been even quicker, but somebody likes to talk.
I do like to talk.
So
yeah,
that was like,
I like to talk to people.
You do.
We had a number of listeners give us the secret code word.
No, I only had one.
Well, I had another one after we got back. The fact that
After the fact, but that I was going to say I was waiting for that. But I was going to say the single best moment of that whole show was as we were leaving, we were heading for the car. I get this tap on the shoulder, and I turn around. And this guy goes, "Secret code word." I was like, "Ooh!
I know.
I'm so happy."
Well,
even cooler is he had one of those. I don't know what you call them. Those one things you carry your baby in front of you.
The swaddles or whatever
they are. They're called like baby bonders or whatever. But you know what that means.
No stroller.
He's like a super fan. He's like a double super fan.
Well, I felt bad because we were literally like trying to get out
the
door.
I felt bad. That's the one thing is the irony is I almost wish he'd gotten you instead of me. Because you would have had that thought process right then to stop and turn around and talk to him.
And I was I was ahead of you.
Yeah, well, you were way ahead of me. You were making a run for it. Because to me, I was like, we were in the car, and I'm like, oh, I should have stopped and gotten his name.
Yeah.
I don't have that social kind of thing. Sorry. It wasn't personal. It was just like, I was so shocked that you did it, and I was so happy.
That, I know. Like, Dave was like, oh my God,
this is the greatest moment ever.
Because I had to stop Dave and go, what was that about? And he was like, secret code word, and it took me a minute, and I was like, ah!
I was like, ah, that's so awesome. Cool.
It's like, that's awesome. So we apologize to the listener who that was, that we did not stop. Our goal was to actually get home before noon.
Yeah.
Like
which
that
we,
was,
which we pulled off.
Oh, yeah. That was my goal. I was like, I want to go, get be there, pick up some stuff, turn around, leave, and be home by noon. I'm like, because I just don't want to waste my whole Sunday at Toy Man. Because Carrie, when we got home, she was like, why didn't you guys set up this time? And I was like, because we were gone all last weekend, pretty much, and I don't want to be gone 2 weekends in a row on a Sunday and just be gone all day.
Although, you know, ironically, I almost think, obviously we had to commit to Kane County because it's 4 hours away, but I almost feel like we picked the wrong horse. You know, it seemed like Toy Man was cooler, had cooler stuff.
Yeah, we did find quite a bit of cool stuff at Toy Man that we were like, aw.
Yeah, I mean, there was a guy, he's been there the last couple times, he has like a bunch of Star Wars stuff,
Right.
That's where I got those 12-inch figures.
Yes, because you picked
I picked up Chewbacca and complete, Leia.
So did Chewbacca have all his little pouches?
Chewbacca had all his little cartridges.
Cool.
Which are a major pain to find. Now, they might have been repros. I don't know. But considering that he was complete and in good shape, for the price they asked, it was a really good price.
Right.
Like, and that was the thing. Is like, I mean, they weren't like super cheap. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I got it. You know, I didn't get Jason Duvall prices on them. But for like an actual, you know, vintage 12-inch Star Wars figure, they were good prices.
And Leia still had her hair in her buns.
Leia still had her hair in the buns, which is a big thing because, you know, kids would take those out and mess it all up. And her outfit was in good shape. So, and he had a couple other ones. And I kind of wish I'd brought more money because I would have gotten a couple more.
Right. Because he had a complete Boba Fett.
And he had a Jawa. Complete Jawa.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll be back in December with those.
I think so.
Maybe they didn't sell and he'll bring him back. So
yeah. And I got a couple of things. I know that you got your Bill and Ted figures, which you really wanted.
I did. I had a bunch of extra randomness. Like I had a bunch of extra Power Lords for some reason.
Yeah.
I just had duplicates of certain figures complete, and I was like, well, crap, what am I gonna do with these? And I had a duplicate Big Boss from Cops complete and loose. And I was like, what am I gonna do with these? And I was like, well, I'll take them to Toy Man, even though we're not setting up. I know a couple of the dealers, we know each other, and maybe I could talk to them. And I talked to the first dealer who usually buys stuff from me, and I was like, we talked for a little bit, and I was like, hey, are you buying Power Lords or anything? Because I brought some. Like, we didn't set up, but I brought some just because it's stuff I need to get rid of. And, I figured I might need the money while I'm here. And he's like, we talked. And he's like, oh, I'm going to pass. He's like, you know, they're not for to sell. They'd be more for me. And I have some already. And I'm like, all right, cool. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we'll talk to him in December. And then I moved on to our buddy Dan.
Yeah.
And told him about it. And Dan's like, well, what do you want for him? And I'm like, well, there's a lady out here that's got... Because by that point, I was out of money. I'd only taken $40.
Yeah. Well, earlier, just kind of set the stage. Earlier, we went out into the hall where our friend who has the Masters figures usually sets up, Joe.
Right.
And, you know, and there wasn't anything really I wanted this time around. And you, of course, talked.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like, you know, how's things going? He's like, good. And I'm like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And talked a little bit. And then I'm done.
Right.
And you're like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, it's time to move on.
Right.
So I went down the thing and I saw the two, I saw Bill and I saw Ted on the cards. I'm like,
right.
Ooh. Yep. Can't wait for Jason to see those.
And so, of course, I wandered down there and saw him and was like, oh. And I was out of money by that point. I was like, well, I'm broke. I'm like, well, but I've got those figures out there. So, I'm like, technically, I can probably talk her down to 10 a piece, maybe, if I'm lucky, 30 for the pair. Like, so that's really all I need is $30.
Yeah.
So we went in, and the first time we went around, our buddy Dan, dealer Dan, wasn't there.
Yeah.
He was out wandering around. When we came back, he was sitting there, and we stopped and talked to Dan, because we always do, because we get along with Dan really well.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And he usually cuts us good deals on
stuff. He does. He does cut us good deals.
So we were talking to him, and Dave bought some G.I. Joe stuff from him. And we chatted. And I said, hey, I've got these figures out in the car, and I kind of need, you know, $30. I'm like, are you interested? He's like, what do you got? And I told him, he's like,
I'll do 30.
Yeah, he's like, I can do those for 30. He's like, I'll take them home. I'll probably sell them eventually. So I brought them all in and sold them to him and took the $30 and went out to the ladies and saw them. I was like, I'll get us 30. Would you take that for the pair, Bill? Like, I wasn't even going to try to, because I wanted them. And I was like, I'm not even going to try to go down any lower. And she's like, yeah, I'll do that. And I was like, here you go. grabbed my figures and walked.
Yoink.
And then as we were heading out the door, I got stopped by a guy that was at the very tail end of the hallway there right before the doors. And he's like, hey, you bought the chipmunk van for me a couple years ago,
I remember
you?
That, yeah.
And I was like, hey. I was like, how are you? And he's like, I'm good. I'm like, I haven't seen you in a long time. He's like, well, I space out my shows. He's like, I haven't run into you guys in a while. I'm like, we're usually, if we're here and we're set up, we're usually inside. He's like, oh, that's cool. We talked, and he was getting ready to move to Brazil.
Because his wife is down there.
His wife is down. His wife's family
is down there. Yeah.
So he was getting ready to move to Brazil, and he was kind of excited because if he was living there, he'd have more time and a better chance to go hunting for toys.
All that, yeah, all those legendary Brazil toys.
There's a lot of stuff in
no,
Brazil.
No. I wasn't mocking. Yeah. Like, Brazil's one of those countries that gets weird tail end stuff that we don't get here.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of it over there apparently still. So, yeah, he was kind of excited to go over there and do some. It was his last toy man, and he was selling some stuff. And first time I'd ever seen the Trendmaster Voltron, the lions that could fit the Trendmaster figures. I'd never seen that set before, and they are they're bigger than
they're
the,
big.
They're, I think they might be bigger than the Mattel one when they're all together.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
They were pretty big,
though. The lions did not look that big.
They were pretty big.
They were big, yeah, compared to the old...
The Panache place.
Yeah.
So, I saw those, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, Toy Man was a really good show, though. There was a lot of dealers there.
A lot of dealers, a lot of cool stuff. A
lot of cool stuff. We of course, got there... I think when we walk in, it was like 7:20 or something like that.
Literally, yeah.
And Chris McCullen, who runs it... the gal that always runs the front for him was like, Nam. And I was like, we don't have a table. And Chris comes around the corner. He's like, yeah, I was going to say, what are you guys doing here? You don't have a table. I'm like, well, we're just not going to not come. And I was like, and we've got plans this afternoon.
Yeah, we always we always used to be able to come.
I
know.
Well, I think he was just giving us a hassle just because. So well,
apparently he listens to the show too, so we got to watch what we say.
Oh, we love Chris.
About that jerk.
Oh, he's a jerk, that Chris. No, we love Chris. Yeah. No, there's always been that standing offer for us since, you know, we've done a lot of stuff for Chris to, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, jizz. I mean, every Toy Man show, we pimp it before we go and before when
oh, yeah.
we're back. So.
Oh, yeah. So, it was a great show, though.
It was a really cool show.
Yep. He talked to us.
As I said, honestly, I liked it better than King County.
Yeah.
I wish I had brought my King County money to that show.
Yeah. Honestly. I do, too. Because I would have walked out of there with a lot more.
I would have walked out of there with a lot more, too.
There's a guy named Dave who sells board games there a lot.
Yes.
Every show.
He's always in that back bar area.
Yep. And we were looking for a Christmas game. We found one because there's...
We?
Well, Dave found it. Yes. I got to give
credit. Board Hero is tossed around a lot these days.
Yeah.
But...
Dave found the Christmas game I was looking for because that was my goal. Kane County was to find a game for Christmas that was Christmas themed and I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
And Dave found one actually at Dave's. Dave found one at Dave's. So we've got a Christmas game for a Christmas episode of board. So... There'll be an episode in between, you know, an episode that happens during the whole time that board is not on the air.
Yeah,
during the
hiatus. Yeah,
so
gotcha.
There'll be an episode that at least will be able to keep people entertained until March. So, picked that up, and then we talked, and he had the 3D Real Ghostbusters game. And I was and I was like, how much? He's like, well, I've got 85 on it. And I was like, ugh. Which, essentially, the game is nothing more than just a rebranded Witch.
Yeah.
Like, it literally is Witch with new pieces.
Well, that's very common for licensed games from properties, known properties, to just basically take an old game and another Columbo game is, I don't know the name of the game, but it's another old game.
Yeah. And, you know, I want it, but I don't necessarily know if I want it to play on board, but I've always wanted that board game.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just love Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And then, of course, later we found out, I was like, well, I can't. I was like, you know, I don't want to have to whip out a credit card. I don't want to pay for it that way. I'm like, I got to watch what I'm spending. I'm like, you know, and he kept trying to talk me into it. I'm like, no, I'll think about it. It's cool. I appreciate it. And then we went back and talked to, you know, our friend Dan again. And he was like, I've got like three of them. He's like, I can sell it to you for like, I can sell it to you way more than 85 bucks. He's like, maybe like 30. And I'm like, bring it.
Well, I missed that part, but sweet.
He also told me he had all of the Bill and Ted's figures on card.
Yeah, you told me that part.
Yep. So he's going to bring all the rest of those. I have to email him to remind me, but he's going to bring me the rest of those this next Toy Man so I can pick those up.
Wow.
And complete the Bill and Ted's minus the phone booth.
You're going to spend more money than I am with this next one.
Probably. Probably. Just barely, though.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Toy Man is... It's always more fun to me than some of the other ones at times.
You know, this King County was just off. It was weird. I just didn't enjoy it. There wasn't as much stuff that I particularly like.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one building that was like the cool building.
Yeah.
And usually you can find stuff in every building, except the dollhouse. But even the dollhouse, you find like a random thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's just the main building was just weird. And then I don't know, it was off. And Toyman, you know, I think it had a little bit of a lull there for a while, but starting last year, it started coming back strong.
Oh, yeah, no, it's...
And it's you know, and that may have just been, like, a reflection of the economy more than the show.
Yeah.
You know, I think people were just, like, you know, kind of hunkering down and not spending money, and... But, I mean, it's come back big.
Oh, yeah.
I really look forward to the Toyman show.
I do, too. I know there's a... We don't have a table in December either, and they're sold out already. Wow. The tables are sold out for December, which is fine.
Yeah,
But what I find is interesting is that there's a chance that they may be able to start setting up tables in the upstairs area.
Okay.
Like, that we've never been. I've never been upstairs.
I just remember when Hembro was filming, I like looked up, and there were cameras up there or
yes.
something. Or lights.
So there's a chance that they may start putting dealers upstairs as well, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
that's a lot of dealers.
I mean, he's moving in a year or two.
Yeah, he's going to move to a new building, which is awesome. So, that show's needed to move for a while now. But, I mean, it's kind of tradition for that building for him. You know, it's it goes back to when his dad ran the show and he ran it with his dad. It's kind of, you know, it goes back that far. So, but, yeah, that show's needed to move for quite some time now. And it's good that it's going to move next year. I'm looking forward to it. Be nice to get in a new building and see how the new layout affects the show and see if it draws more people and a larger crowd.
Yeah.
You know, the Toy Hunter episode will probably do good for the show and bring a lot more traffic once people are like, oh, there's a toy show in St. Louis? Holy crap. Because that was one of those shows that we didn't even know was going on.
Well, I mean, our friend Mike from What's on Joe Mine lives in St. Louis and didn't know there was a toy show there.
He was like, wait, there's a toy show in St. Louis? Yeah. Like, yeah, there's kind of a big one in St. Louis every other month. So, yeah, I love going to Toyman, though. I mean, it's, you know, we've got the next one is December 8th.
Yeah, well,
so we're literally...
Weather holds.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's why I told Carrie, it's, you know, it's in 4 weeks' time. I told Carrie, I was like, we'll go, but that's only if, you know, the first sign of snow that weekend and Dave and I are staying home.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't happening. So,
you can do what you want. Dave's staying home.
Oh, no, don't. I will not. If it snows, I'm not going to Bridgeton.
Yeah.
We've done that once. We
danced
that dance.
Yeah, we did that.
We will not dance that dance again. That dance almost got Dave and I killed.
Yes, we've told that story before.
Yeah. Because we were like, oh, I can't remember. No, it was bad.
Yeah, that was dumb.
It's scary times. It was like end of days for us as we're spinning on the highway.
That was messed up.
Yeah. I thought we were going to die. It's like, hold on, Dave. Here we go. So, yeah, other than that, it's... I don't know if anything else major has happened since Toyman. I mean, I found a few other things. I found a couple loose Rambo figures that I was looking for that aren't complete, but they're only missing, like... Rambo's missing his Bowie knife. And I need a new rocket launcher eventually because the rocket launcher, the little plastic knob that holds the string from going through all the way,
was gone.
And then Sergeant Havoc was the other one, and he's missing a gun that goes in his holster, like a little handgun.
Yeah.
And those pieces are those are the pieces that I see a lot. It's the figures complete that I don't see very often for affordable. And this guy had them for like $10, and I'm like, eh, they're missing a couple pieces. That's fine.
Yeah,
like I can deal with that. Like, I had a regular Rambo, but he was missing everything. And this Rambo has this little T-knives that he can hold. Like, just these little tiny knives that slide in the back of his belt he had. So, found those. Found Bill and Ted.
I think that's it. You got the Rambo figures. You got the Last Action Hero.
Found some Last Action Hero. Turns out, I was right. As I was standing by the guy and looking at them, I was like, I'm pretty sure I bought this Skull Attack Jack Slater last time. He's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think that was the one. And, yep, that was the one.
Oh, wow.
I have two of them now.
Good for you.
I'm like, crap in a hat. So I need I need Dynamite Jack Slater and I need Heat Pack and Jack Slater to finish off the figures of that line because I have everyone else now. So just one of those odd Kenner lines that
very odd.
Well, and the sad thing is that we did those for that new toy smell, and I had the axe guy. I can't think of his name. I don't think it's Jack the Ripper, but it's something else.
I think it's just the Ripper.
It's just the Ripper, and I had Dynamite throwing Jack, and I think I gave them both to Danny. Or I gave them to Killen to sell. Because afterwards I was like, I really don't want these figures. Kind of the same thing I did with the Tales from the Crypt figures. Because I had all of those figures. Because I bought them just for that new toy smell. And then when we did that episode, they were such a horrible line. I was like, I don't want these. I don't want to look at these. They make me sad. So yeah, I need those, and then I just need Jack Slater's convertible, and I'll have that complete line, other than the big talking one, which I don't care about. But another odd Kenner line that I was like, I really kind of want these. Like, I kind of really want these line.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Eh. I mean, if I found, I know you got an Evil Eye Benald. Evil Eye Benedict at one point.
Yeah.
That's like the one figure I'd be interested in because it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah. And that was the figure that was super hard to find.
Yeah, I know.
Him and Danny.
Naturally.
Yeah. Him and the little kid. The little kid. Yeah. So, yeah, Evil Eye Benedict for the longest time was really difficult to find. But, you know, between that and completing like a bunch of the Visionary figures, I think I've got all of the basic figures from Visionaries. And one of the vehicles and its driver complete, and then I have one of the other drivers for the one of the bad guy vehicles, the smaller bad guy vehicle. But I have like all of the figures, all of the basic assortment, that first series that came out. I have all of them, and I think the only thing I'm missing now is that I'm missing Leoric's helmet, which is coming from Brent Scarano. And I'm missing his staff and his whip, which sucks because I bought his whip and it never made it home from King County.
I know.
Which is really sad. And had I thought about it, Spike, who's one of the other dealers at Toy Man, was there. And if I'd thought about it, I didn't think about it until we were halfway home, I should have stopped and asked him, hey, the guy that was set up next to you, do you know him? Do you have contact information for him? Because I left something I bought of his at his booth, and I kind of want it. So, but I didn't.
Well,
so now it's the I look at eBay every day to see if somebody has listed one of those weapons by itself. Aww. I know. Or I check action figure identification every day, hoping that maybe somebody has found that whip. Because it's like, that's the last Visionaries weapon I need, other than Krybex, I think is his name. He's got this little three-pronged knife thing. And I'm like,
yeah, you keep talking about the three-pronged knife
thing. Yeah, the three-pronged knife thing is the bane of my existence. I want it, but I'm like, it's so tiny and small.
Speaking of bane, but not really, but DC Comics.
Yes. Okay.
My one bit of toy kind of news-ish is you actually sent me a message.
Oh, yeah.
The one DC Universe figure that I really desperately wanted from what was supposed to be this next year's Infinite Earths line was Ice.
Yes.
Complete my Justice League International. And it turns out that there's a seller on eBay who's selling them.
Yes, there is.
From Hong Kong, which may or may not be illegal. So, hypothetically, allegedly, I may or may not have picked her up.
Yes.
So... And I hypothetically, I may be very happy about that.
Yes,
because that's the one figure, and out of most of those characters, that's one of the ones I really always wanted. Never thought I'd get. So like to get so close and then to have it not happen, I was like, oh.
Yeah, and then you're like, gosh dang it.
Because if they had flipped it and had her instead of fire, I probably wouldn't even be that worried about it.
No, but the fact that it was like, oh look, there's ice.
It's like ice, sweet. So, yeah. Guy's happy. His girlfriend's going to be coming soon.
Yay.
It's already shipped.
Yay. That's good.
And he had some Ewoks from this Target Ultimate Battle Pack from years ago, actually.
Yeah, like a number of years ago.
But I was like, hey, I never got that because it was stupid expensive.
Yes.
And I want those Ewoks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and this guy is he's well known among G.I. Joe guys.
Like, because he's one of those Hong Kong guys.
He's one of those Hong Kong guys, but apparently he gets a lot of G.I. Joe stuff. I know he had the... He also had the Jurassic Park guy. There's, you know, they had these G.I. Joe Jurassic Park figures. They did a couple of them at Toys R Us this year.
Yeah.
But there's one that's been all over eBay for a long time now who wasn't part of those sets. And he's one of those guys that has those. So.
That's awesome. Those dealers, I know there's a lot of people out there who are probably listening who will hear that and go, well, that's not really, it's not kosher. You know, but.
Allegedly.
But. I say this. I mean, there are a lot of... I mean, I've seen a lot of people... Like, the Masters community is really against doing that kind of thing because those figures pop up from time to time straight from the factory.
Yeah.
And they're usually Hong Kong or Asia sellers. They don't have any accessories. It's usually just...
Yeah, it's very rarely that you get the accessories.
A lot of Masters figures, though, have bought those in the past because they're like, I may not get this figure. I don't care about the accessories. I want the figure. I may not have a chance to get it when it comes out. So why am I going to run the risk of, you know, I can pay $20 free shipping right now and get it. You know, if these guys are listing them on eBay and eBay's not pulling them and they're for sale, I say buy them.
Yeah.
I say if it's something you want bad enough, buy it. And yes, I can see the difference of well, you're not really giving your money to the toy company for it. Well, we're not really doing that with aftermarket toys anyway, and that's basically what it is at that point. It's an aftermarket toy. It's loose. It's not in a package. It's may not be out yet, but technically speaking, it's an aftermarket thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just be completely talking out of my butt, and I'm sure there's lots of people disagree
with me. Well, as a general rule,
but
you're not buying from the toy company anyway. You're buying from, like, our sponsors, BigBadToyStore.com.
That's right. That's right.
Or you're buying from Toys R Us. I mean,
yes.
The way the toy industry works, the way a lot of stuff works in our country, is you're not paying the actual company. You're paying a middleman.
Right.
So, you know, it's just I'm paying this particular middleman.
Exactly.
As opposed to Digital River. So I'm not really losing an awful lot of sleep about
that. No, I wouldn't either. I'm, the less money of mine that goes to Digital River, the happier I can be.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing. Is like, I don't have to be there. Because she's not supposed to come out until, like, the second quarter.
Yeah, like, late.
So, you know, and it's actually cheaper than it will be from Hasbro. I mean, it's like, at what point, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Know? It's like, why would I?
What loyalty do I have to Digital River?
None.
To get this thing?
None at all.
Because I'm going to open it, and I think the only accessories are, like, a chunk of ice, and I'm not that worried about that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, who cares? The chunk of ice is a small thing that you're like,
it would probably go in the box anyway, bin. So, you know, I'm happy with it.
Mostly it just comes down to you wanted the piece because you wanted the display piece.
I wanted the display because it's a character that I really like.
Right.
It's one of my favorite characters. It's from one of my favorite comics.
Yep, and you've been
I want that team.
Yep, you've been wanting that version of that character for a long time.
And as DC Universe Classics, one of the reasons I love that line so much is it had an unerring ability to pick the version of the character that I love the most.
Right.
When they did them.
Right.
And with Ice, that was my favorite version. I know DC Direct has done a couple versions of her, and it's never
that
version.
That version, right.
So,
it's always some other ridiculous
version.
Yeah,
it's like a later version or an earlier version. It's always some weird-looking thing. It's not that kind of 80s-looking thing where she's got the little t-shirt over her thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I don't know. I'm content with my purchase.
Well,
alleged purchase. In case it's illegal.
Well, bah.
But, I mean, and I've allegedly bought one or two things before that way. I got a, there was a figure they released, I think, for Pursuit of Cobra, and I can't remember what his name was, but he was supposed to be Ripcord from the movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden they changed, because Ripcord wasn't very popular.
Right.
But the Pursuit of Cobra suddenly changed from being a continuation of Rise of Cobra to its own thing.
Right.
They changed all the head sculpts, and they changed him to a completely different character. Well, from one of these dealer kind of guys, you could get the original Ripcord figure. Which is the exact same figure, but different color scheme. I mean, it's not even like a different head. It's a completely different color scheme.
Right.
So I was like, ooh,
so you
that's
like,
neat.
Yeah, so you were like, well, I want that.
Yeah, so I got both those guys.
I don't blame you. I mean, if there was stuff like that, you know, I mean, early in eBay's run, you would find a lot of stuff like that. You know, unproduced toys and stuff. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff for Bravestar and such in that manner in the early days that, had I been smarter, I would have bought it when I saw it, but I never did. So, I mean, there's been many times where I was like, ooh, I should buy that. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to buy that. And then you regret it, and you're like, son of a...
And that's the other thing is even if you don't buy from them, sometimes it's kind of a useful tool for, hey, this figure popped up in Hong Kong. I guess he's getting made.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, I keep checking for the Assembler's Igor figure, which is supposed to be in the next wave if it ever gets made.
Right.
I keep checking for my Emma Frost figure, which I don't think is ever going to get made. I think that three pack is doomed.
I think that's a lost cause.
I think that's with the Hobbit. And I keep checking for those Hobbit figures
that
got canceled. I thought I was hoping those might have like gotten produced and just are sitting somewhere, but they never show up,
which is sad.
Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that
just
is never going to happen.
That one I would not even like. I would buy those in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people would with those. I mean,
like,
those...
screw you, Bridge Direct. Well, I mean, you know what? You had to release the lamest of all the possible packs.
Right.
You know, that's just crummy.
I know. It's silly. It's like, well, that sucks.
Hey, it's that character that nobody cares about
with
all those other figures that are already released.
Yeah, that's kind of crappy. That made me feel bad for you because you were really, really looking forward to.
Well, and you know, and they teased all this stuff for years. I mean, as late as San Diego Comic Con, they were showing.
They were showing those packs.
Yeah, and it was like, right. Okay, there were 3 5 packs, you know, and I would have bought 2 of them if they had done all 3.
Yeah, they would have sold them, but it's like, well, that's like.
And then they showed like a huge set with all like 13 characters or something. I would have bought that, and even though like half of them I had already. just to complete the company.
Right. I did the round two, and Captain Action sent me the new costume sets for Captain Action, the Wolverine and the Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I did those reviews and put them up this week, put them up on Monday. And then suddenly I've got people on YouTube saying, hey, Toys R Us isn't carrying these, and you mentioned Toys R Us a number of times in this. And I was like, yeah, they are. You know, I'm going off information I was told in April.
Yeah.
Of this year, as early in the year as April, which understandable, it's been some time now, but it's like, well, that was the information I was told by Captain Action Enterprises in round two, way back in April, that these were going to be Toys R Us, and that was the assumption that Toys R Us was going to carry them.
Yeah, now, Toys R Us still have Captain Action stuff.
Yeah, Toys R Us isn't carrying these two.
Yeah.
So, of course, now I had to put up annotations on the video to tell people, sorry, we were using, you know, we had old information that isn't accurate. So I still have to do a follow-up video, but that's one of those things where it's like, you know, suddenly Toys R Us decides we're not going to do this line for Bridge Direct. We're not going to carry these, even though we don't have any hobby figures.
Well, no. Remember, the thing was, up until, I think, Comic-Con, like, it wasn't a Toys R Us exclusive. That's the whole thing is I had all those pre-ordered from our sponsor, Big Bad Toy Store.
Right.
I had everything ordered. I had that locked down as soon as those things popped up. Big Bad Toy Store, you would have gotten a huge chunk of my money. The sponsorship would have gone the other way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I get all these emails because I got an email for each cancellation.
Right.
You know, well, we're not carrying them because they're now a store exclusive.
They're now store exclusive.
So now I'm like, well, what store?
Right.
So I'm hunting, and it was Toys R Us was the only, you know, I don't know. Apparently, they cut some kind of deal with Toys R Us, and then Toys R Us. Toys R Us didn't want that much, or I don't know what happened, but like they only got the 5-pack, and then they got 3 6-inch triggers.
It goes back to my thing, and I was telling the round two guys and Captain Action guys this. I'm like, the buyers of Toys R Us need their heads checked. Because number one, like with the Captain Action stuff, good for Captain Action, but Toys R Us bought way too much product that they just couldn't move fast enough. So, you know, at the beginning of the year, they were doing these half-off sales where the figures and the costume sets were all half off, like on ToysRUs.com, trying to move a lot of this merchandise out. Because the plan was to move the merchandise and to make room for the new costume sets when they came out in October, and that was their plan. And suddenly, then Toys R Us goes back and goes, we're not going to carry these, sorry. And it's like, really? It's like, that's kind of bogus. Toys R Us, you're stupid. That's why I quit you.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was that's why I quit Toys R Us all these years ago. Not that, number one, it's a horrible, horrible company to work for. But number two, they do so much stuff that doesn't make any sense for a toy company for a toy store that's trying to stay in business in these times where, you know, people aren't really buying toys for kids that much. It's like they're...
Well, actually, toys are generally a better industry in the recession. Parents will buy toys for their children.
Right.
The collectible stuff goes in the tank during a recession because, you know, we're trying to eat. But you'll buy stuff for your dogs.
Right, exactly.
And I buy stuff for my dogs, and people will buy stuff for their kids.
Right.
So actual toys that are popular with children, because, I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is doing fine.
Oh, no, it's doing spectacular.
It's doing fine and dandy.
There's no slowing down for the
cool stuff. It's the stuff that's collector-oriented that's poking around.
Right. And I just think that's, you know, it's one of those things where I just found it very funny and frustrating for me, because then suddenly I look like an idiot, like, hey, these are available at Toys R Us. Oh, no, they're not. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah. You know, I can't do anything about it now. You know, I mean, the video's done, and they didn't say anything to me before I started the video. So it's like, well, I guess this falls on both of us. This is both of our faults. So, you know, I'll do what I can to fix it on my end. But, you know, it's to the point where it's like, I'm not going to do a whole new video just to erase the other one that's already got views and add dollars on it. I'm like,
you could redub it. It's like, and these are available at stores.
Well,
right now.
You know what? I don't think that's...
You should head down to your local store.
If YouTube had a thing, and I thought they did it one time, but I don't believe they do, but if they had a thing where I could just replace the audio track, I literally could and just replace the audio track, and it'd be fine. But it's just... That's not going to work. So it's just frustrating, though, when stores are like, hey, we're going to carry this, and suddenly it's like, hey, we're not carrying this.
What just annoyed me, it was like, hey, we want this as an exclusive, but we don't want that much of it.
Exactly. It's like
and we don't want the ones that will sell, because... What?
Yeah, it's like, really, guys?
Really? I mean, I get it. It's like, hey, this one has less tooling involved. It's like, yeah, and that means there's less stuff that people want to buy.
It's almost like Toys R Us is starting to carry more Chat May stuff, because it's like, they've
got... Well, actually, the Chat May aisle has shrunk down. It used to be like a whole aisle.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh, my Winnebago.
Yeah, I see your Winnebago.
Sorry. He's not paying attention to the podcast. He doesn't care at all.
I am.
He's just surfing, like, auctions.
I am doing he's utterly indifferent. Two things at once here. No, I'm carrying on the conversation.
He doesn't care about you people at all.
That's not true.
He's a monster.
I'm carrying on the conversations.
So, they've had, like, this huge... And then there's a... Because there's two sections for it. There's that, and then if you go to the Animal Planet section, all
there's
that
more
stuff...
Chat May stuff.
That's all Chat May.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Well, it's good stuff. I mean, it's...
It's cool stuff. It's not necessarily good.
Well,
it's,
no.
It's,
I mean,
fun.
People,
it's fun.
People buy the crap
well,
out
it's cheap.
Of it. Yeah. It is cheap.
It's cheap. I mean, you know, and they do stuff that Hasbro... They do vehicles and stuff that Hasbro won't do.
Right.
You know, vehicles and giant monsters, because they do it cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I always used to joke that Chat May was Chinese for lead paint. But, I mean, I've seen... You know, I've got the giant... I don't remember what they call it, but it's a C-30 Galaxy. I've got that.
Right.
I really want... There's a submarine that looks really cool in the Animal Planet section.
Yeah.
I would buy... I wish they weren't all spread out with different sets, but I mean, there's like... I would love all the animals, like the rhinos and the hippopotamus and the... I love that stuff.
Yeah, they got a lot of cool stuff when they do
that. I have a lot of their dinosaur toys with my dinosaur stuff.
Yeah.
And then I've got a lot of just random, you know... Last year when The Hobbit came out, they started doing generic fantasy stuff, and I got the orc set.
Yeah.
And this year they did a mythical. They're doing mythical stuff. So
yeah,
there's a set with like a Medusa.
Yeah.
Perseus and Zeus.
I mean,
I love that stuff.
Well, it makes good display pieces too, some of that stuff. I mean, I know that's when... I remember when Killen bought that whole...
Oh, yeah.
He just bought like a ton of it.
Dino Quest or something.
Yeah, the Dino Quest. And we were like, what are these? And I think you were the one that were like, oh, these are Chat May. And we're like, what is that? It's like, what is Chat May? I had no idea what it was. I'm like, what is that? What are you talking about?
It was big with Joe's. And like, originally, you could find them at Walmart and at Kmart. Kmart really had a lot of it.
Yeah.
But Walmart and Target had, like, generic sets. Like, if you went to the generic aisle, they would have those there.
Right.
Kmart actually had, like, the, you know, Pirates of the whatever and Wild Safari. I mean, they had, like, the actual name. And that's what always tickled me about that is you would go to Kmart and it would be, you know, Pirates versus the Savage Monster Octopus or, you know, Poachers versus the Wild Dinosaurs.
Yes.
And then you go to the Toys R Us and it's Animal Planets, study the giant octopus.
Yeah, and you're like,
learn
hey.
About the peaceful dinosaur.
You're like, hey, wait
that's
a
the
minute.
Same toy. It's just, you know, the same creature toy, and then the figures are...
It's like, what is this? Yeah, that was always funny to me, is you would... Especially when I worked there, is I would walk by all that stuff and see it, and then you walk down the action figure and go, wait a minute, and you'd walk, I'd take the box back with me and go back down the aisle and go, well, isn't that double dealing?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, there's the same set, it's all just different names. Like, isn't that funny?
I thought it was funny that, like, the Kmart got the really lurid kind of stuff, and then Toys R Us is educational.
Yes.
It's in the educational
zone.
The
educational aisle. We want you to learn as you play with the Chat May stuff. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, see? Meow, meow.
And then they're also kind of famous for, like I said with The Hobbit, they suddenly did True Heroes and did those elves and orc sets. And another one that I really enjoy, I can't remember what it's called now, Beast Warriors?
Something like that, yes.
Something like that, but it's basically He-Man. It came out right when the 2000 He-Man line came out.
Yes.
And it's Thunder Thor, and he rides a saber-toothed tiger, and he fights this skull-faced guy. And,
Thunder
you know,
Thor.
Thunder Thor. Oh, these names. Like, my favorite, of course, is Skinny Bones McButt.
Skinny Bones McButt?
Who was one of the dinosaur poachers.
That's awesome.
But, you know,
dude, I want a figure now called Skinny Bones McButt.
Well, I have one. Yeah. But yeah, they do that. And then when Crystal Skull came out, they had an Adventure Heroes line.
Oh, yeah.
And those are kind of neat. I've got a couple of those sets. Those are actually really expensive.
Yep.
That's the other thing about Chat May. Chat May is one of those things, I think now that people know what it is, it's starting to get pricey.
It starts to get pricey, yeah.
Some of them do. And a lot of it, you can only get stuff overseas. There is a... There is an Osprey, which is a kind of plane that the Marines use. It's a tilt wing plane.
Correct.
Chat May has one, and they've only ever released it overseas, as far as I know.
Oh, really?
And it's a grail piece for Joe guys.
Wow. Because it's one of those display pieces that are like, we must have.
Well, it's an Osprey, you know, and it's like, oh, that's, you know, nobody else has ever made an Osprey for figures.
That's kind of cool.
I remember they had the, it's kind of, it's not a dinosaur, it's an aquatic prehistoric reptile called the Leopleurodon.
Right.
Which is really cool. It looks like a crocodile kind of thing. It's
got flippers, right?
It's got flippers, but it's got a big crocodile head, and it's really super cool. And it got released overseas, and I'm like, oh, I really want one, because those are cool. And they finally, Toys R Us finally got a set with it. I was like, yoink.
Yeah.
Yoink.
Yeah, when you go to Dave's and look at his shelves, there's a lot of Chat May stuff filtered in.
There is, yeah.
There's a lot of
Chat May stuff. Well, I think that's the thing, is Chat May's one of those things that people like to buy to supplement their G.I. Joes and their other toy lines. That, and then the other big thing is there's a, I don't know who make them, but it's called World Peacekeepers, and you get it at, like, Dollar General, or you get it at, not Dollar General, Big Lots.
Right.
They always get them in at Christmas time. That's, you know, that I have, like that big bombed out playset.
Right, yeah.
And then there's that other building playset, and then they have, like, a lot of vehicles, like tanks and jeeps, and it's in there. They're kind of cheap, and the figures are really kind of cheap looking, but they're great to supplement your G.I. Joe stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They have a bunk bed set now. They have, like, little, you know, they come with a ton of accessories, barrels and guns and,
yeah,
you know, sandbag walls. And it's just, they're really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, those are really popular with G.I. Joe guys to, like, buy and to, like, you know.
Especially guys creating dioramas and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was, when we were at JoeCon this year, I saw, like, the diorama contest. I was like, oh, that's a World Peacekeeper headquarters set. Ah.
Huh. Dave's showing off his nerd at a nerd convention. Oh, crap. What do you say we answer some fan... Well, we answer the
we
fan
answer
question.
Some fan question.
We answer a fan question. Let's listen to the fan question music.
Listen to the fan question music. Boo, 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 wee.
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Yay. Fan question music. Our fan question.
Fan question.
I'm going to scroll back up here. Comes from Nightmare10880, and he says, hey guys, it's been a while, but I got a couple things I'd like to get your thoughts on. First off, I was thinking about what Dave said about how Fox and Warner Brothers need to get over themselves and go ahead and release the Adam West Batman series on DVD, as the fan base for the series is slowly dwindling, especially for fans that are willing to pay for it on DVD. Wow, that was quite a while back we talked about that.
It was a while ago, yeah. But I mean, it's not even the fan base, it's just that the concept of DVDs is dwindling.
It's dwindling, yes. He says, this got me thinking about the West series and a lot of other classic TV shows like original Star Trek, Andy Griffith, and cartoons like Looney Tunes, Scooby-Doo, and all the various Hanna-Barbera classic cartoons. Most of us had a Bugs Bunny figure or stuffed animal growing up as a child of the 80s, and all of these cartoons and TV shows were at least 20 to 30 years old at the earliest by the 80s. But most of us didn't know that, and they were fresh to us. Because they were still being aired regularly on TV, it gave them a chance to keep reaching a new generation of fans, and companies were able to make new merchandise for these brands that new fans were eager for. My question is, why don't companies try that again with the brands from the 80s we've already seen? Hasbro, Mattel either re-release or release brand new figures based on classic versions of their brands to appeal to the now grown-up original fans of these brands. So why not try to get the original cartoons back on the air to appeal to a new generation and also save on all the costs of making a new cartoon? Well, we've already seen that.
Oh, okay. No, I get what he's saying. Yeah. I get what he's saying. It's like to re-release the old stuff.
I think there's a lot of problems with doing that. I think the Hub, when it first started, aired a lot of these classic cartoons, and they still do. You know, go back, you know, what, 10, 15 years ago when Cartoon Network first started, and they literally just aired old Hanna-Barbera stuff. That's all they had to air. They didn't have anything original. I think I read into his question a different way in the fact that he's looking at it like, you know,
I read it differently when I first read it. So that's why I'm kind of like now going, oh, I see what he's saying.
I read into it like, you know, I feel his pain about why don't we have Looney Tunes merchandise? You know, why aren't they showing the classic Looney Tunes cartoons regularly like they used to? And
well, part of that is it used to be cheap programming for local stations.
Yes.
We don't have local stations anymore.
Not anymore. Everything's
cable.
Yep. So you know, a lot, you just won't see that stuff anymore.
There is a weird trend with even with cable networks. Like you said, Cartoon Network. You know, I always lament Sci-Fi Channel. You know, back in the day, you turn it on, it was Battlestar Galactica, $6 Million Man, and Incredible Hulk. And it's like they just keep getting pushed down, you know, the Sci-Fi 2 or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's Boomerang for Cartoon Network.
Boomerang for Cartoon Network.
They always have, like, some network. It's like, here's what the network was originally supposed to be. spin-off network.
Right.
And then you got to get Boomerang 2, because, Boomerang now has its own original programming.
Yes.
Everybody eventually just wants their original programming. I think partly because, stuff does get seen, and it does kind of not pull in the ratings after a while.
Well, what's weird is that you talked about, some of that stuff being available on DVD.
Yeah.
What is it? Shop WB. That's all right. You find a lot of the stuff.
No one will be seated during the
yes.
nail-biting Jason surfs the internet sequence.
Well, what I was getting at is that some of the old Warner Brothers and the Hanna-Barbera stuff, you can go to WBShop.com and you can go to their movies TV section and the DVDs, and you can go to you can go to the kids stuff, all the animated stuff, and they actually, the Warner Archive, actually, they do this thing where they offer all of these old movies and genres and stuff. And
oh my
basically,
god, Flo is on DVD and not the classic Batman.
Well, basically what it is that these are all made to print. Like, they print them as they get orders in. So they're not sitting on stocks of this stuff. They just literally print
orders. Yeah. It's like the t-shirts that we get, a lot of those.
Yeah. So, you've got stuff like Herculoids and Frankenstein Jr. and The Impossibles, Thundar, the Roman Holidays complete series from Hanna-Barbera, Marine Boy, Moby Dick and the Mighty Mitor. The Pirates of the Dark Water complete series is available on here. Silverhawks, volumes 1 and 2, Pac-Man both seasons, The Completely Mental Misadventures of Ed Grimley, the animated series is on here.
I remember.
Yeah. Valley of the Dinosaurs, I know. The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan. Help, It's the Hair Bear Bunch. SWAT Cats, Centurions, Dragon's Lair, Mr. T, I've got Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos from here. Sky Commanders is on here. The miniseries for Challenge of the GoBots is on here. The Addams Family Man animated series from 73-74.
The original C-Lab 2020. The
original C-Lab 2020. Just tons of tons of stuff that normally would never see the light of day, ever.
Yeah, apparently not.
And it's all available here. I mean, some of it's a little pricier because it's made to order, so they range anywhere from $15 to $30 a DVD, which it depends, I guess, on what you want. Like, there are a lot of people that have bought Pirates of Dark Water and stuff because it's like there's a complete series. Warner Brothers has remastered them. They're just releasing them like this. A lot of classic stuff like Flintstones Christmas Collection, Speed Buggy. There's a lot of the stuff that's still available out there, but a lot of this other stuff, it's just I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. As for releasing like the old cartoons, I mean, we touched on that, but even releasing the old toys and stuff, just a lot of those molds are gone. I mean, go back to when Mattel was going to do the commemorative edition of Masters. They literally had to go on eBay and buy all of those figures so they could make molds of those figures because they don't have the molds anymore. They're gone.
Well, when we were driving back from King County, Mike was telling a story about there was a Joe-Con exclusive that was supposed to be the tank that I don't have. I can't remember what it's called now. It's the tan one. I think it's the Marauder.
Marauder,
I was
going to say, that's the only tan tank name that comes to mind when I think of Joe's Marauder.
And there was going to be like a recolor. Actually, they were going to do two versions of it for a Joe-Con exclusive, like a Cobra version and a Joe version. Well, they started making the tank and then the molds broke.
Oh, wow.
So that was like a big controversy that year, was that the molds broke. So they people had already ordered the tanks.
Right.
And couldn't get them.
That sucks.
So
they had to refund all the money, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
They had to do something weird. He was explaining it. But I know Soundwave's mold broke. That was a big thing when they were doing the Transformers.
Right.
Was his molds were like destroyed.
Yeah.
We've talked about the Bronze Bombers, which is a line of figures that used G.I. Joe molds.
Right.
So they got the molds. I mean, that's the thing, is a lot of times you'll sell the molds to other people, which is why you have all these weird Mexican and foreign toys.
Knockoff stuff.
Knockoffs, but they're knockoffs, but they own the molds
because
these companies want to make their money.
Yep. So it's one of the shames of the toy industry is the fact that they don't keep...
archival.
They don't keep archival stuff, which...
Well, molds are huge.
Yeah, but I mean, you would think that... I don't know. There's a part of me that would love to believe that someone higher up in the toy companies feel that there's a need to, you know, basically keep their history, you know.
Yeah,
but they create so much stuff.
They're cranking it out. They don't have the attachment to it that we do. It's a business for them.
True. I mean, it's not Lucasfilm, for God's sake.
Or
Disney Pictures.
But Lucasfilm is unique.
Well, so is Walt Disney. I mean,
But I don't know that Disney necessarily has the. I don't know that much about Disney.
They have an archive.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a huge archive. They have probably one of the largest private archives in the world. I mean, they pretty much have. I mean, yes, there's a lot of cells that are out there from these movies, but they have a lot of stuff that I've seen. I'm just like, oh, I want to go there and dig around.
And then, you know, the other side of that is, you know, when they did that when they first did Power of the Force 2, and they did a set of four vintage figures.
Yes.
And fans flipped out about it. They were like, oh my God, you're going to ruin the value of my vintage toys.
No, it didn't. Yeah. Did no such thing.
But that's for some reason, that is also kind of a concern. But yeah, they've done it with Masters. They're doing it with Turtles right now.
Yeah. So his second part of that, speaking of the various brands of the 80s, several of them, especially the so-called Big Four of the 80s, Turtles, Masters, Joe, and Transformers.
And can I also just quickly jump in? Sorry, to go back to the original point. Times are different. So, I mean, you know, we've talked about how G.I. Joe is kind of a very uniquely 80s show. I don't think it would work with today's kids.
No.
And I don't know how many of these other shows would necessarily work.
We've watched a lot of them back now. I mean, of course, you and Doss are working on the new Animated World podcast for the site, and you guys have watched a bunch of the old stuff, and they don't hold up. No, not at all. I mean, I was excited to see that the entire Karate Kid series was, like, the animated series was on Netflix. I didn't make it through a episode before I was like, oh, I can't watch this. This is horrible. I was like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it.
And it's sort of like, why would it be necessarily in Nickelodeon or, you know, Cartoon Network's interest to put on this show when you can put on SpongeBob and you own SpongeBob?
Exactly.
Or to put on Adventure Time and you own Adventure Time.
Yeah. So it says, speaking of the brands of the 80s, the several big lines of the 80s, Turtles, we'll put Star Wars since that's actually one of the actual big four. Turtles, Star Wars, Masters, Joe, and Transformers have had various relaunches throughout the years. And I was wondering what your favorite incarnations of these and other 80s brands are. For myself, I love Robots in Disguise version from the early 2000s for the Transformers, the new Turtles with its blending of comedy and the 80s version, and the dramatic ongoing storytelling of the early 2000 version has become my favorite Turtles series. Real American Hero is my favorite G.I. Joe, and New Adventures is my favorite Masters. Wow, that's Nightmares in the minority for New Adventures, from what I understand. Because I haven't even watched New Adventures, and everyone I know is like, it's horrible.
I've never watched. I like the toys.
Well, I love the design of the characters. I think they're amazing.
I love some of the characters. That's probably my favorite, like, character-wise.
My favorite incarnation of any of them, I don't know, man.
I mean, with G.I. Joe, it's Larry Hama, you know, issue 1 to 150, I guess, of the comic.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I did like Renegades a lot. I did love Resolute a lot.
Right.
But just if it's G.I. Joe, it's Larry Hama 1 to 150.
Yeah.
Or whatever the final issue is.
I actually really liked Extreme Ghostbusters when it was on.
It was okay. I mean, I had a thing where it was the 90s and just I got everything was extreme.
Yeah, I know.
But I think for an extreme show, it was actually pretty good.
The toy line for that was pretty good, too, and too bad it was
pretty cool.
It's hard to find a lot of those toys because
they
are just extremely, extremely difficult to come across these days, which is sad. So,
In terms of Transformers, I'm going to go into the minority and say probably my favorite era of Transformers was Beast Wars.
Yeah.
In terms of, even though toy-wise I don't have a lot of them, I just, in terms of watching the show, I liked that show.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that show.
Yeah, it was a good show. I still like to, when I can catch it, like to watch it. Because it does hold up.
Yeah.
Beast Wars and Beast Machines both hold up pretty well. I think Transformers Prime was a good relaunch of the Transformers series. It's just a shame they didn't keep it going and now they're going to relaunch it again.
Yeah.
Which sucks. But
I like the animated. The animated was pretty good.
Transformers the animated was really good.
I just hated the design. There was that period in the 2000s where, like, everything was very, very cartoony.
Yes.
Because Spectacular Spider-Man, which was the first season of that, I absolutely adored love, but it had a very, very cartoony look to it.
Yeah.
And Animated was like that. There were two or three other shows that just all had this real super cartoony look that I just could not get behind.
Yeah. Meh.
And, you know, like, I have some of the toys, and I love the characters, and I love the designs, but, like, and it's interesting because I've noticed that several of them, like Lugnut, I noticed they did, like, a non-cartoony Lugnut.
Yes.
Which is, like, basically, it's basically the same toy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, design-wise, in terms of transformation and everything, yeah. It's the same toy, but, like, it's not cartoony. I'm like, oh, I wish they would do the Junkion Rekkar.
Yeah.
I wish they would do a non-cartoony Rekkar because I love that design. I love Weird Al.
I think the only Transformers line that I never really got behind was all of the War for Cybertron and all of that. The Transformers they were releasing during that series, and they all had funky action features. And
you mean the stuff from the video game?
No, not from the video game. No, not...
Armada?
Yes, the Armada stuff.
With the minicons?
Yes, all that. They all had gimmicks. They all had spring-loaded stuff and...
Yeah,
I've got a bunch of those because I bought them all at like garage sales and stuff. So yeah. I own a bunch of them, but that's not my favorite.
Yeah, there was Armada. There were like two or three that followed Beast Machines.
Yes.
Where they brought it back. There was Armada and there was a couple others. And then they got into, then they did the movie and then it was animated.
Yeah, and it was animated.
But so. There were like two or three weird series that like didn't really have continuity with anything else.
Yeah, it was real
funky. Armada was one of them.
I mean, of course, that was the only place you could buy, you know, that was the first time that Unicron had been released.
Yeah.
And, you know, I own Unicron. It's a great figure, but yeah,
it has a Minicon gimmick.
Yeah, it has a Minicon gimmick, but most of them are really bad about the Minicon gimmicks, though. I mean, really bad. It's just the fact that it's like, really, why?
Yeah, that was Hasbro's thing at that time.
Was doing all that.
I know they had G.I. Joe stuff, too, and it was like, the weapons all had these huge tabs.
Yep.
And that was the thing, is you'd plug the tab into the vehicle and you'd get a different sound.
Yep. That's kind of annoying.
Yes.
I never enjoyed that at all.
I did not either.
So, meh.
That was my least favorite period, I think it's called G.I. Joe versus Cobra.
Yeah.
Spy Troops, at least, even though most of the figures still had that crummy design, they did have the cool disguises.
Yes.
I know a couple of figures had the cool ghillie suits.
Because I've got the one Spy Troops, the Joe that you can put the Cobra helmet and stuff on him.
Well, that's...
The red armor. I can't think of...
That's a lot of them.
I can't think of what his name is, though. That was one of my favorites from the...
I know there's Agent Faces who...
That might be.
Yeah.
Because it almost looks like Crimson Guard faceplate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I like those. Yeah. I don't know. There you go, Nightmare. That's our answers for you on that, my friends.
About the best we're going to get.
Pretty much. I mean, that's... We could talk about it for hours and hours on end, but that would be boring. After a while, everybody would be like, just shut up and move on.
Yeah. We have nowhere else to go.
I know.
We're going to wrap the show now.
Well, let's take a listen to this week's thoughts from our good old buddy who dressed up as Jim for Halloween.
I saw that.
Our good old buddy, Ados Baron. And this week's thoughts, what Ados Baron?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Thoughts with Ados Baron. Since we heard plenty from yours truly last week, let's get the ball rolling on our first story from none other than Don Cacciatore.
Oh, thank you, Baron. You're beautiful. Listeners, with the DC Collector Figure Racket slowly loosening its grip from Mattel, DC Collectibles has been stepping up its game to grab more of a share from its toy buyers who once stayed clear from their offerings. Present company included. For some time now, the company formerly known as DC Direct had always put out phenomenally sculpted action figures, but what had consistently kept me away was the lack of articulation, which Mattel made up for in spades, despite the ad nauseum body reuse and the waxy-looking plastic used for its skin tones. However, as of recent, that's all starting to change. They've teased what was to come with the last Arkham City Batman, now showcasing a new articulation scheme on par with the usual excellently crafted sculpt. With DC, unfortunately, focusing on the new 52 renditions of its characters, so goes with DC Collectibles. And for the past couple of months, they've been sending out press photos for all of the new offerings to come. But while the new interpretations are not quite to my liking, how they've turned out is impressive. Gone are the off-putting skin tones, and in its place, more skin paint apps. What's that I see? Are those ab crunch and hinge hips instead of the usual static torso and blasé T-crotch? Yes, it is, my friends. And it's got me rethinking everything I once thought of this passable product. Thank you, your doneness. Hold on. I got one more thing for you. Wear it in good health for what you have left.
What's that for?
He who ordered it wishes to remain anonymous.
Okay! Friends, it's time for another anime manga rant. The topic in question for today is none other than JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Dating back to its serialization in 1987, Hirohiko Araki's masterwork has been going on ever since, despite various name changes. The machismo title's plot is simple enough. Each arc stars a character from the Joestar lineage whose nickname, in varying forms of wordplay, can be reduced to JoJo, battle it out with other powerful mystic users in pure, unadulterated fashion. Take one part Fist of the North Star, plus mutant powers from X-Men, plus a trendy flair for fashion, and you get JoJo. My introduction to the long-running, overwhelmingly popular in Japan manga dates back to 2002 with my first anime convention, the long-defunct Big Apple Anime Festival in New York. Memories. With multiple rooms dedicated to actually screening anime, something I don't think they do enough of anymore, my friends and I walked into one of the rooms in mid-screening and sat down. What we witnessed was something we've never quite seen before. A cast of burly guys with the power to call upon phantom-like physical manifestations with special powers, tracking down a resurrected villain from the long past of the Joestar family in a very serious melodramatic story. This was the original video animation, or OVA, from Part 3 of the long-running JoJo story, and at the time, the only animated arc of the manga. And from that moment, I was hooked! When I got back from the convention, I immediately ordered the bootleg DVDs, because it hadn't been released in America yet, and looked more into it, learning the Part 3 anime was just a taste of the larger picture that was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. But with the manga going on since the 80s, and it being quite the hit on its home turf, I wondered why the earlier arcs were never adapted for animation. For those not aware of Parts 1 and 2, the animated Part 3 can be a little confusing. That all changed in 2007, when the original arc was turned into a feature-length animated film, but as I've recently discovered, has never been given a home video, so to speak, release. Which explains why I can't find it anywhere. Hope is not lost, as in 2012, starting again with Part 1, the JoJo series was turned into a full TV show, and continuing on to Part 2! I've recently found the episodes and cannot stop watching! Though the animation is lacking, it faithfully represents the plot, and that's all that matters. While I haven't finished Part 2 in the anime form, I've heard its ending teases Part 3, which is set to air early next year. Before I began watching the TV series, I thought, do we need another retelling of this? And through watching the show, I realize we do, as in retrospect, the OVA takes itself too seriously. It really needs a lighter atmosphere to it. If we're lucky, it will continue on to Part 4 and onward, but only time will tell. And there are toys too, but that's a tale for another time. Until next week! This is Ados Baron, signing off!
Yay! That's what Ados Baron. We like Das, he's a good kid.
We do.
Even though he dressed up as Jim, which is awesome to me. That's gutsy. Gutsy, Das.
That is gutsy.
I couldn't pull the look off, but you actually pulled it off.
I don't have the legs for it.
No, I don't have the butt for it.
No.
I got a flat butt.
You do.
Yeah, nobody's singing Baby Got Back for me, that's for sure.
No, they're not.
I'm sad. Boo-hoo. Well, there you go, gang. That's going to wrap it up for us here on David DeVos Toys and Collectibles this week. Make sure you check out our website sponsor, BigBadToyStore.com.
Yep.
Check out all the good stuff they've got going on there. Support the website by checking them out. That's awesome. It helps us out. Make sure you follow us on YouTube. Go to youtube.com / Toy World Order and hit subscribe. And you can do the same to Board the Show on YouTube. And hit subscribe to that, as we're all involved in that quite heavily.
Yeah.
And of course, you can follow me on
Twitter.
Just
in time for the big hiatus.
Well, yes, but there's good things coming in the hiatus.
I know.
There's actually two special things coming for Board.
Special.
One's a season one wrap-up episode where we are all going to sit around and chat about the show and have some fun. And the Christmas episode.
Is that on the agenda? Is that in the script?
That is on the agenda.
We have fun.
Yes. Puppet Duvall, me, you, Danny.
All right.
Yep.
It's going to be good times.
It's going to be good times.
I'm sure.
I'm excited. I look forward to it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's going to be before the Christmas show?
Yep.
Oh, weird.
Yep. Christmas show is going to be completely separate.
Okay. Weird. Yep. I know it was going to be separate, but I didn't realize it, though.
Yep.
Wrap up.
It'll work. It'll be good.
If you say so.
I do. It'll be good. There you go, gang. That does it for us. And as always, David.
You don't have to go home, but you cannot stay here.
The toy bar is closed, my peeps. Peace out. We'll see you next week.
The thoughts, opinions, and nerd rants are solely those of your hosts and do not represent those of our sponsors.